Welcome to the Round 15, your Supercoach Coach podcast. I'm Marcus, and I'm here with FB Donkey, Mark.
G'day, everyone.
And Faz.
Hey, guys.
We'll start off again this week by letting you guys know how we went on the weekend. Unfortunately, I scored pretty poorly, 20-78. Didn't have any donuts or anything, just underperforming premiums everywhere, and I did have quite a lot of guns sitting on the bench, so my replacements, unfortunately, didn't perform quite up to scratch, and not having Isaac Smith is actually hurting me quite a lot at the moment, but hopefully I can still get back up into double digits, but my hopes for the 50K are pretty much down the tubes at this stage. So, Mark, how did you go? Slightly better than me, I hope?
Yeah, I got a couple of hundred more than you, Marcus. I got 22.51 this week. It's shame to hear about your score, though. I know Bartel has not done you any favours in the last 2 weeks. My team seemed to go pretty well on the weekend. Again, I struggled without Isaac Smith as well, but new recruits like Pritis and Ablett did pretty well, and nice to have Swanee back in the team, and good to see Richardson get a game. So things are definitely looking up at the moment, and I think I'm only about 300 points behind you now, so still a chance of catching. How'd you go, Faz?
Yeah, I think I was sort of smack bang in the middle of you two guys. I got 21-23 this week. I actually copped a donut because I had Jimmy Bartel. I didn't think he'd play, so I had cover ready, but then Tendai Mazunga was also a late withdrawal, so that hurt. Apart from that,
if you followed me on Twitter, Faz, you would have known before.
another plug for you there, Mark. Yeah, but apart from that, pretty happy with how the team went. But even though I was happy with my score of 21-23, the ranking still slipped another 300 spots, so I'm down about 12,000th now. So hopefully, I still got quite a few trades left, so hopefully I can make up some ground towards the end of the year.
All right, we're going to jump straight into the show now. We are obviously going to discuss Sandilands injury a bit later on, but we'll start off in the back line with a couple of value options. Now, the first guy we want to talk about, Sam Fisher, who had the bye on the weekend. Now, I brought him into my team about 3 weeks ago, and he's playing some fantastic football at the moment, clearly in career best form. He's averaging 113 at the moment. Now, his price tag is really high at 506,000, but Mark, I know you want him quite a bit for your team at the moment, and that's the best person to probably give the plug is you.
Yeah, sure. At 500,000, I'm a bit wary of his price, and I really hate paying top dollar for my defenders, as I've said a few times on the podcast, but Fisher may possibly be the exception here. I heard an interview with him on SEN about 3 weeks ago where he was just talking about moving into the midfield, and it's the first season where he's actually been in there for centre bounces. And I think that just shows that playing a lot more midfield time this year is going to be great for his scoring. I know against the Doggies, Cross went to him, and Cross had tagged Mitchell the week before and then went to Fisher and tagged him for the whole game. But Fisher's contested marking just got him across the line and got him 108 points that week. And we've always known he's capable of the really big scores. He's already done the 156 against the Hawks this season. Hasn't had too many low scores. He's only scored under 100 twice since round one, pumping out those 130s, 120s. I think I'm leaning towards the fact that he's probably too expensive to pick up, but at 500,000. But I really wish that I'd done what you did and picked him up a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, well, if you have the cash, obviously, then I'd recommend a buy for Fisher. As Mark said, he's in playing fantastic football at the moment, and I really don't see him dropping below a 110 average for the year. That's how good he is, and as we all know in the back line, it's hard to find scores, and a premium that can average 110 is extremely valuable, so definitely recommend the buy for Fisher.
And also with St Kilda probably not going to make the finals this year, there's also less of a chance that he'll be rested in that run home. You know, if they're not looking at September action, then there's not a whole lot of point in resting him sort of around that round 23, 24 mark. Another St Kilda player that we'll look at is Brendan Goddard. I know a lot of teams picked him up from the start of the year, but if you weren't one of those that followed the masses, you've got a pretty tasty pickup on your hands here with Brendan Goddard only at 425,000. Presents great value. We all know what he's done in previous seasons. Been a bit off the form though this year, still averaging over 100 though, so that looks a great buy in my opinion at only 425k. Your guys' thoughts?
If you don't have him, obviously pick him up, but despite his poor form, 970 of the top 1,000 teams have him, so most people listening to this show, I'd hope, would have got out of this stage.
Hawthorn back was performing really well at the moment. There's Matt Suckling now. We know he cost only about $220,000 at the start of the year, so if you picked him up then, it was a great move. He's averaging 97 for the season so far, 115 and 113 the last two games. We know that Hawthorn have been a great DT and Supercoach scorers so far this year. I think ranked one in both competitions so far, and absolutely love their statistics in the back line over there. So Suckling's great kicking, paired with Hawthorn's game style, means that he's actually a really good pick. And at 404,000.
Yeah, I'm a huge Suckling fan. I picked him up pretty early in Dream Team. And I remember a couple of years ago watching him do the kickouts in the VFL for Box Hill and just being amazed by his accuracy and ability to just have a couple of steps hit a target from 50 metres. And he's really something to behold. And we've really seen that for the Hawks this year. They're relying so much on their short kicking game and just keeping possession of the ball through kicking. And Suckling is one of the real keys to that. He's through the back line, he's one of the leaders in the back line now with so many injuries back there, and really important player for the Hawks and pretty good at racking up the possessions as well.
Now, moving on to the midfield, Dane Swan came back from Arizona and played last weekend in his first game back and scored a 133. I think he's clearly back to being his fit and dominant self, so we assume that a lot of people who listen to the show probably already have him, but if you don't, and obviously a buy-free Dane Swan, I mean, he's likely to get rested at some stage, but a buy-free Dane Swan at 448,000 would be an excellent pickup if you don't have him already, and he'll probably average about 125 for the rest of the season.
I'd actually be pretty surprised to see him rested from here after him taking a couple of weeks off. And I think a lot of the Collingwood players will, but I'm not sure that Dane will be one of them. Great to see him return on the weekend. I think a lot of people did sideways trade him. He was dropped off by, there's about 250 teams in the top 1,000 that don't have him anymore. And I think most of them would have started with him and have traded him out since. So most of those teams probably pretty low on trades and would be in a pretty tough situation at this stage where if Swan can come back and get back to his best and even go with Ablett as the permanent captain for the rest of the season, as we would hope from Dane.
Yeah, I probably agree with you there, Mark, about him not missing any more games for the rest of the year. You look back to his previous years, and from 07 to 010, he didn't miss a regular season game, so that's pretty impressive numbers. And yeah, I'd say that one game he missed with his trip over to Arizona will probably be the one he misses for the entire year.
One of Swan's opponent this weekend will be the Hawks in a huge game. Might determine who's finishing in the top couple this season. One of the players we're playing against is the captain, Luke Hodge, and he is only 433,000 after he had a shocking game against Geelong, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where we went to Marcus and really didn't look himself until that last quarter. But the last 2 weeks, he's got 115 and 114. After Collingwood, has a great run for the rest of the season. He does have a bye in 2 weeks, which could cause some problems, but I think at 433,000 presents a lot of value and should average 115 from here, which we have discussed on the show previously. What do you guys think?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to bring him up again because, like, a lot of people would have been down on Hodges' game after his poor score against Geelong. So if you take out his first game back in round two and his two games against Geelong, he's actually averaging 115, and the last 2 weeks he has scored 115 and 114. And as you said, Mark, he does have a good run following his Collingwood game. And he's playing predominantly in the half-forward flank at the moment. So Brisbane, Melbourne, North Melbourne, Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast all give away above-average points to Supercoach forwards. So Hodge should be in for, yeah, definitely a 115 average, I think.
Okay, the next player we want to discuss is another cheap option that doesn't have any buys left, and that is Nick Del Santo. What's he priced at this week?
481, I think, at the moment.
That seems like pretty good value for a Supercoach stud of previous years. Average 112 last year, 115 the year before. And even though St Kilda have been a bit down this season, he's still averaged 110. And you'd expect him to average 110 from here on in. He's not incredibly consistent. He does have his down games, but he also has his massive 150 games. So 480,000 in, he seems like a pretty good pick without a buy.
Yeah, another thing I like about Des Santo is even though he does have those odd down games, they're a lot sort of better bad games than other players can have, if that makes any sense. His lowest score so far this year is a 78, and he's had three more in the 80s. But certainly beats those guys that can come out and have a 60 or something like that. That really hurts, especially if you've made him captain that week or something.
All right, we're going to move on to this week's hot topic now, and that's obviously Aaron Sandilands. He only scored 44 and was subbed off after his toe was hurting again. So he's 508,000 at the moment, which will still garner you a fair amount of cash depending on who you bring in. The number one option, I guess, would probably be the buy-free Ben McAvoy. He's currently priced at $467,000. That's probably the biggest point against Ben McAvoy is that you probably only gain $40,000 from this trade. And I was hoping to get a bit more out of downgrading Sandilands, but he's averaging 102 so far this season. And after being dropped in round 9, when he returned, his last four scores have delivered 103, 142, 121, and 135. The biggest strengths of his game would probably be his marking ability, and he does actually get around the ball a fair amount, which is quite good for a ruckman. Mark, what do you think about this pick?
Yeah, I think McAvoy is probably the best option out there, and the thing that really stands out is that he is buy free. That would be the determining factor for me. And the other options, there's some other decent options available, but they've all got their own issues. So we have seen this in the past where players, especially young players like McAvoy, is they might start off a bit slowly to the year as he did, and then go on this huge run. And I know he was dropped for the Melbourne game, and then he wasn't selected for the Fremantle game either, but he was a late replacement for Cozzy, came in, did pretty well, and has just really gone on with it since then. And you'd hope that he might have learned a bit from being dropped and that he would go on for the rest of the year. And he's definitely looked pretty good. I know I've got a bet against Dead Sets from the Supercoach Elites where I bet at the start of the year that Sandilands had averaged more than 20 points more than McAvoy, and I'm looking in trouble at the moment. McAvoy looks to be absolutely killing it. What do you think, Buzz?
Yeah, well, his upcoming opponents look pretty tasty as well. I'm using that word a bit tonight. It's weird, but North, Port, West Coast, Adelaide and Gold Coast in the next five. So that looks a pretty good option. Also with McAvoy, I haven't heard much news about Gardner recently, but I'd say he's probably not going to play many more games in his career, if any at all. So that's also, I guess, a positive is that he'll probably be shouldering most of the ruck duty himself. And although that can sort of hurt players, I guess, their durability and stuff, it also means better scoring while he's in the team. So, yeah, I think McAvoy looks like a great option this week. Another guy that we'll look at is former number one draft pick Matthew Kruse. He's obviously, as we know, coming back from a knee reconstruction. Had a very good game in his second game back against Sydney with 150, but they're sandwiched between two pretty average scores of a 67 against Brisbane and a 58 against West Coast. Do you guys think he is a good option to bring in? I know it'll get you a bit more cash, but I'm not sold that he's going to score all that highly for the rest of the year.
In the previous 2 years, he has managed averages of only 80. So you'd think coming back from a knee construction as a big man, it'd be pretty hard for him to increase that average. But the game we did see from him in his second game back was very, very encouraging. And added to the fact that Carlton are playing really great football at the moment, I do think he's a pretty good option.
I'd probably stay away from Kruger this year. I'm kind of hoping that he doesn't do too well, just so that he's going to be nice and cheap next year, because I think there's a fair chance I would have picked him at the start of this season if he hadn't have got injured. And you can just see the progression happening where he's going to be in most people's Supercoach sides at some stage. And he's definitely someone that's good to watch, good to support. I think if you are looking for that bit extra cash, he's not the worst option out there. I'd personally prefer McAvoy though.
The final option we'll look at for the ruck replacements is Todd Goldstein. He seems to be on the injury list most weeks with a troubles in that ankle or something like that. But despite that, he manages to get himself up for the games. And he has had some massive scores this year, including 149 in round 6, 158 in round 7, 144 in round 11, and 164 last week. And that has taken his average to, this is quite amazing, it's exactly the same as Sandilands at 112.67. But the other thing with a big average comes a big price tag. So at $499,000, you're only going to get about $10,000 in the bank by bringing in Goldstein. And I think some teams would be wanting to sort of use this Sandilands trade to sort of get a bit more cash in their kitty to help their team elsewhere. But, yeah, Mark, do you think Goldstein's a good option?
There's probably two reasons why I would avoid him. I think he's the best scoring option that's available. Had a couple of extra seasons on McAvoy, and he really has been promising. I know they said on the couch this week that he's come from nowhere, but people have been following him or North reasonably closely wouldn't say that at all. He had pretty good season last year, or at least some really big games last year. And I know Hawker from YSCC has been a pretty big rap on him for a couple of years. And those huge games this year have just been great. But the two downsides are when North have their bye, you can't bring Petrie into the rucks to cover him because Petrie will have a bye the same week. So that can be a bit of a problem. Also, people will have other North players in their team that might make them a bit more difficult to deal with that. And the other thing is what you brought up there, Faz, was his ankle injury. I know that I'm pretty sure he'd been carrying it for a few weeks, but I know he injured it a bit more against the Dons 2 weeks ago, and he was rated only a 50-50 chance of playing on Friday night, and then by Sunday he played and absolutely dominated the game. But then again, that was against a pretty poor ruck setup with Lobby and Trengrove in the ruck, and Goldstein should really be expected to absolutely dominate in that situation. So the durability and the Petrie factor are two things that are probably a bit strong for me, but probably the best scoring option out there.
Yep, and he also does have Collingwood, Carlton, Hawthorn all coming up before the bye, which isn't great for Supercoach scoring or ruck scoring, so do keep that in mind. I don't think he's suitable for many, mainly because of the Petrie issue. I'm not sure how many people still have Zach Smith in their team. I think a lot of people have Petrie as their sole backup option, which obviously causes a bit of problems. But
do you have Smith, Baz?
Yeah, I do still have him. I was one of those that traded Sandilands out the week he went down back the first time, and have been using Smith and also that Petrie link to cover him. And I guess that's something we would mention briefly is that's an option is to go Sandilands all the way down to Joel Tippett and thereby opening up that Petrie link into your ruck line.
Well, we'd be both pretty happy this week because we've both got Smith and Petrie and Cox. So that is a pretty good situation to be in, having gotten rid of Sandy already. The one thing about bringing Tippett into your team, if you're bringing Petrie into rucks permanently, Tippett becomes basically a dud on your forward bench, and that could cause you some pretty big problems later on. I wonder whether you have to trade Sandilands at all. Like, I know, Marcus, in your situation, you have quite a few trades left, so that gives you a lot of options when it comes to trading out Sandilands. You can trade him out, get a bit of cash, and then use that for an upgrade, and you can do that quite comfortably. But I know that there's a lot of teams out there that are down to four or five trades already, so they're probably not going to be looking for any cash out of it because they won't be able to use the money for an upgrade. But do you think if you've only got four or five trades left, you have to trade Sandilands, and at what point does it become a situation where you have to keep him?
Yeah, well, I'd say that most people who have kept Sandilands are also likely to have traded Smith out, because I'm not sure at this stage how many people would be carrying, Sandilands, Smith, Cox, and the Drew Petrie link. So if you don't have Smith, then you're already facing trouble this week, like I am, because I only have Petrie playing and Cox is obviously out on the bye. So I'm sort of, my hand is forced to trade this week because Cox is on the bye this week. If you have cover in Smith, then I guess trading Sandilands out probably isn't vital, because I'm assuming if you have four to five trades left that the rest of your team's probably complete and you were just looking to ride the season out with those trades for injury. McAvoy scoring 100 for you each week is still a pretty good option, but that's only probably a 20-point gain on Zach Smith at the most. So if you can use that to avoid a bye and get a fall in premium, that your trade could net you a bit more points later down the track when carnage hits.
I guess one scenario that I can see holding on to Sandilands might be a good idea would be if your sort of primary concern is winning your league and you already think you've sort of wrapped up a spot in the finals, top four, I guess, best case scenario. But yeah, I'd say Fremantle will probably take a bit more of a cautious approach with Sandilands this time, not try and rush him back too early. And yeah, if he can manage to get himself right, I think they said it doesn't require any surgery, so hopefully he'll come back sort of firing on all cylinders, and then that could be a pretty good point of difference for you in the finals, which most years the ruck divisions don't really make much difference in head-to-head matchups because everyone's got the same team. But, yeah, if you've got Sandilands and Cox going up against sort of Cox and Zach Smith for those 4 weeks of finals, you'd be pretty confident in your team doing better there.
Sandilands does have Hawthorn, Collingwood, Carlton and West Coast remaining, which are all pretty restrictive to opposition rucks. And turf toe really is quite a lingering injury, and it'll well hurt him for, you know, probably the remainder of the year is probably the issue. And
that's the assessment that Faz and I would have made a few weeks ago without the return of Sandy getting injured. Yeah, it's just a small brag there, mate.
Yeah. I would have thought that, you know, if he could stay on the park, that he'd still manage an average of, you know, 100. But clearly his is a lot worse than we thought, because he had the the 4 weeks out, which is common for turf toe. But normally when you come back, you don't re-injure yourself straight away. You are hampered, but I don't think you would have called a re-injury for another 4 weeks. I think, is he out for another 4 weeks?
Yeah, that's the assessment. Yeah,
could even be longer than that. And the prediction that Faz and I probably made as well was that it was pretty stupid for Fremantle to rush him back so quickly. Like, they had Brisbane in Perth and then Gold Coast in Perth. Why would you need to play him? And then they've got the bye. Why would you need to play him in those 3 weeks? Just Fremantle should win those two games. If Fremantle have any chance of making the finals, you need Sandilands. Rest him up. Give him an extra 3 weeks. Like, it just seems pretty ridiculous from this far away that they actually even gave him a game.
Yeah, I think they were pretty worried about their form, so I guess they just wanted something to change. And I guess if the big man puts his hand up, then I guess they were willing to risk it, but obviously it didn't pan out.
Let's move on to the forwards now. And the first player we're going to discuss, and I think Marcus is really just picking on me and Faz here, is Jared Brennan. And I can't believe you put him on the run sheet here, Marcus. He has gone absolutely crap since I brought him into my team. He was averaging over 100, had a whole bunch of scores over 100, including a 155 and a 138. And then I brought him in and he's got 68, 66, 81. I heard he's been battling a bit of an ankle injury. He got whacked in the guts in the Hawthorn game, I think. And things have not been going well for him. But he is very cheap and he does have MPP. So what do you think of him, Marcus?
Yeah, well, I didn't just put him on the run sheet to rub it in. I do think he's a pretty good option. Obviously, he still has a high break-even, so usually not somebody you have to get in this week. His break-even's 118. But as you mentioned, the forward mid-MPP is obviously valuable there. And, you know, Brennan is an inconsistent player. We have seen that in the past from him. So I definitely still think he's, you know, more than capable of managing an average of, you know, 90 at least, and he is buy free for the rest of the season. So if he drops down and you can make, you know, money from a sideways trade that'll also avoid you a buy, then I think Brennan's a pretty decent option, and I'll certainly be keeping my eye out for him and hoping he returns to form, because he looks like a pretty good pick at his price.
He's also very fun to watch, which is one thing, I guess. You know, it is a game at the end of the day, and it's good to be able to root for the guys that you like watching play. If anyone saw the goal he kicked against Hawthorn a couple of weeks ago, you'll know what I'm talking about there. One guy that I don't actually enjoy seeing do well is Travis Cloke, and that's primarily because of the team he plays for. But he has returned to form, it seems, in the last few weeks. Scores of 115, 138, had a week off with a bye, but then 154 against Sydney on the weekend. I'd say you probably have to at least consider Cloke at this point in the year. Pretty expensive at 450, 1,000. But, yeah, averaging 97, break-even of only 21, so his price is going to keep climbing. Don't think either of you two would be bringing him in this week, but have you got any thoughts on the guy?
Yeah, well, I remember early in one of the shows that one of our podcasts that you named him Kendall Cloke, and that sort of stuck with me for a while. Look, he's had two six-goal games in a row, and he is by three, and he has a really low break-even, so if you want to bring him in, this is a week. I know you hate him a lot, Mark, so I want you to talk him up.
Okay, so Kendall really is my most hated player in the AFL, and I have thought that for a few seasons now. The problem with Supercoach is that one of the problems is that it actually makes you like some of the teams that you would have hated previously. Like, all of a sudden now I really like Scott Pendlebury, I like Dane Swan, and I'm happy to support him, whereas in the past I would have hated every Collingwood player. And Travis Cloke is an exception to that, though. I still hate the prick. I do think, though, that he is becoming really Supercoach relevant. He has become probably the best big man in the game at the moment. He's in the Premiership side. Now that Dawes is there to take a little bit of the focus off him, I think he's playing even better. He's improved his kicking, which is frustrating for us non-Collingwood supporters. I think in the next couple of years, he's going to be pretty Supercoach relevant, and I think he's going to be in a lot of teams. I think at the moment he's fully priced. I'm not sure whether he'll get a rest or not. But he's also buy free and in the form of his life. So I know Deadset's brought him in last week and he was very happy with 154 the first week. I hate to say it, but he's not the worst option going around.
Yeah, and he is a point of difference. He's only in 17,000 teams, which is amazing, I think, for, you know, a player who's averaging 97 in the forward line. But that goes to show how many people share Mark's sentiments about
Travis Cloke. He's in 17 teams in the top 1,000.
Yeah. All right, we're going to talk about Adam Goods now, who actually has really good SOS on the run home. Sydney have Adelaide, Gold Coast, Western Bulldogs, and Brisbane, who all give away points to forwards. And Goods has been, despite playing in the forward line, actually been scoring reasonably well. He has had two poor games recently, but last two games have been pretty good. And he's currently averaging 98, and 414,000 means he still presents a lot of value. Obviously, a lot of people already have Adam Goods, but he's a pretty good option for the remainder of the year, at least.
Yeah, well, I guess, again, this depends on whether you're going for the league win or the overall, but he has his buy in multi-buy round 19, along with Brisbane and Richmond. So if you're going for the league win, that's obviously a good thing. So he's not missing any more league games for you for the season, but there's quite a few sort of popular picks. Ryan O'Keefe, a fellow Sydney player. Jack Rewalt came into a lot of sides early in the year after he knocked himself out and scored a zero. And I think Jonathan Brown, probably not as popular, but some people would be looking at him, I guess, at the value he presents at the moment. So that's something to keep in mind with Goodsy.
Yeah, if you are in a league and you don't have him, you should jump on as soon as possible. He's got so much going for him. He doesn't have any buys left in the sense that he's not going to miss any more games for you. He has a really long and strong history of running seasons home much better than he opened them. He is cheaply priced at the moment. He is MPP. He is super durable. I think he's missed three games in like 15 seasons or 10 seasons anyway. Plenty of reasons to pick him up for a league team.
He's not in a team that are going to rest as well, which is good.
Yep.
And his run home looks pretty good for the Supercoach finals. I know he's got Geelong in round 23, but before that is Richmond and St Kilda and the grand final round. He's got Brisbane, who he scored 144 against back in round 11. So that's pretty handy.
A forward that has turned his form around in recent weeks has been Brad Green from the Melbourne Football Club. He started the season as one of the most highly priced forwards in the game, and I do remember in one of the forums, we had was predict the top seven forwards for 2011, and I remember Brad Green being up there in the top seven for a lot of coaches on the forum. Unfortunately, his season hasn't panned out quite as we'd hoped for. He's only averaging at 85 for the season, but since round seven, he's only had two scores under 90, and he's averaging, I think, around 100 for the last, you know, eight games. So he's turned his form around. His break-even's only 38, and if you are going for the league win, Melbourne have a really good finals draw. West Coast, Richmond, Brisbane, and Port Adelaide. Gold Coast and Port Adelaide. It really doesn't get much better than that.
No, it really doesn't. The question that comes to my mind is Brad Green versus Cole Sylvia.
That's a really good question. I guess Colin Sylvia did dip in price, so he's only at 404,000 at the moment. I know your biggest knock on Sylvia is that, you know, he's very prone to injury, and I remember looking back on his game history, and it is a lot worse than I thought. Yeah, I'd probably go with Brad Green because of durability, despite his age.
Yep. Yeah, he's not having an upside of about 10 points higher, but Green seems a lot more likely to play out the season. Pass.
Just with Brad Green, he's played 22 games in a season once, but he's also had quite a few seasons where he's played 20 or 21, as opposed to Sylvia, who seems to play about 16 games most years. And I guess as the case was with Adam Goods, he has his remaining bye in a multi-bye round, so no league matches, and that's shared with Fremantle and Adelaide. So I guess owners of Pavlich, Fife, Chris Knights, Colin Sylvia, who we've already mentioned, I guess depending on whether you're going for the league or overall, should either avoid or get on Brad Green for that reason.
The final player we want to discuss also has a bye in that multi-round week, and that is Ian Callinan. I was pretty impressed with what I saw on the weekend against the Cats down at Skilled. He was one of the most desperate players for Adelaide and got a reasonable amount of the ball, and I think he kicked a goal as well. So considering he'd only played two SANFL games coming back from the bicep injury and step up to AFL and do that at 28, things looked pretty decent from there. Were you down at the Cattery on the weekend, Marcus?
Yeah, he did have a very impressive debut game and was one of the few Crows out there that, you know, really wanted to win that game. Look, I think he'll get plenty of opportunity. The fact that he came in so soon after the injury suggests Neil Craig really just needs to shake some things up. And yeah, I think he could pretty easily average, you know, 65 to 70. Height, he's very noticeably shorter on the field as compared to the other players, but that doesn't seem to be a detractor. And his playing ability is really strong, and he's only 91K with that forward mid MPP. Definitely a big fan of this pick, and I'd be happy to bring him in after just one round, having not seen, you know, much more of him.
And I guess that brings up the fact that you don't need to jump on him right now. He did only make his debut last week, has Sydney this week, but then the bye. So you've got sort of quite a while to make your decision on Callan. And I guess it depends on when you need to sort of avoid the donuts and stuff.
Awesome. That wraps up this week's show. We certainly hope you enjoyed it.
Yep, go Bombers.
Yeah, save onto your trades. If you're looking to upgrade this week and you've got seven or less trades, I recommend pretty much keeping your trades. Good luck.
Just to note that Mark will be going on a holiday to Darwin, and I will be in Sydney on holiday as well. So next week there won't be a podcast, so apologies for that, but we'll be back the week straight after that. Yeah.